Well, you're out there in the trenches. You've got your small business. You've got staff members. Maybe you're just still on your own. Maybe you've got a little website. Maybe you're a service-based business and you go out and get clients. Maybe it's all online. There's a lot going on when we have the category of small business. Now, one of the big issues that businesses have, particularly in the startup phase, that's actually attracting new customers, attracting new clients, aka getting money through the door. It often can be easier once you've been in the trenches for that 4 to 5 years because your name is just out there more, and people that you've dealt with in the past, they might have had a good experience, and then it might take them a year before they're talking to someone else and be like, oh, hey, I was using, you know, so-and-so down there. So it is a little bit different in terms of the word of mouth to actually marketing your small business. One way you can do that is online. Now, you might think, well, I've got a service-based business. I install air conditioners. Yeah, that's cool. Everyone uses the internet. Everyone's online. Where do you think they're going when they want to research something? It's online. So there is no difference there with an online product or service or a service-based type business. Anyway, enough of me prefacing the episode. I'm joined by Kayla Maltz today. She's from Allies Management, and we're just going to talk about all the things to do with marketing, how you can start marketing your small business today. My name's Glenn James, and this is Business.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Kayla, welcome to the podcast.
Hello, Glenn. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm happy to have you. So we're talking about your wheelhouse today. So we might start by just putting a flag on the hill and, you know, what do you do in your business? Just tell us a little bit about your day-to-day and some of the clients you work with, and then I'm going to come back and we're going to ask you a heap of questions.
So I am a co-owner of a marketing agency in Brisbane called Allies Management. Our niche, I guess you could say, is service-based businesses. So I loved what you said about the air conditioning before. We actually do have a client that installs aircon, so that's perfect. So yeah, I guess we're a little bit different to other agencies. A lot of agencies these days are e-com, so Shopify, all of that fun stuff. But our niche is service-based. So a lot of hospitality venues, events, aircon installers, construction, real estate, childcare. Those are some of the industries we work in. I guess a day in the life, day to day, I have a couple of clients of my own, but a lot of my role is managing our team. We have a team of 4 marketers under Allies. And yeah, my role is mostly managing social media content calendars going out, reviewing ads, speaking with clients, managing the team. Yeah.
Yeah. And I like how I actually didn't heaps know you did a lot of the service-based stuff, because what I want to do with this podcast, for those who might be new to This Is Business, and we put this up on the main show on a Saturday just as a bonus, like, it's so easy to talk about businesses and have, you know, e-commerce and what you talked about, and we just do everything online. That's awesome. I love that, and that's primarily my business, right? But out there in life land, like real life, people have small businesses and they physically do stuff with their hands. They might sell physical products. So part of my remit for doing This Is Business was to really acknowledge that small business on the ground in the trenches. And I can do this with a lot of confidence because I'm passionate about it. And it is different to Shelley's podcast, This Is Work, because she kind of operates in a separate sphere, like more of the high-level corporate leadership and management and mindset-y stuff, where I'm like rough in the trenches. I like talking about tradies and how to optimize your trade business, and, you know, I'm a bit of a bogan, so that kind of works. So what do you, and, you know, we do have some prepped questions that we're going to chat about, but I think one thing I want to know, just from a human point, what are some of the rewarding things about your role and some of the clients that you've worked with in the past?
Yeah, I think what you said about being in the trenches is exactly that. And I think a lot of agencies get a bit of a bad rap because they do one thing. Maybe it's like running ads and they do that really well, but they kind of lose touch with like what it's actually like to be in a business. And I think service-based businesses, especially because they are in the trenches every day, like hospitality, for example, like we can sometimes, hospitality clients have a bit of a bad rap of being hard to get in touch with. They can sometimes forget to reply to emails or get back to us. But when we do get back in touch with them, it's because one of their ovens literally like exploded or like an oven turned off or something like that. Like they are dealing with something so beyond what we deal with every single day. So that's really rewarding, being able to work with clients like those and have a bit of a better understanding than your average agency. So there's that. But I think also for me personally, working with our team and growing our team, seeing them upskill in marketing, it changes every bloody day. So we're constantly upskilling every single day. So seeing our team grow is really rewarding to me, which is why I love the This Is Work podcast, because that's really helped with leadership and management and stuff.
Mm. Yeah. So a lot of small business wannabes or small business owners listen to these types of episodes. You know, the first thing that they will tell you anywhere you go is, you know, social media. You got to go on social media. And to a point, like, yeah, you do. And anything I say, Kayla, like you've listened to my crap for long enough to know that I talk with complete confidence on anything when I probably don't even have any idea of it. I mean, it's what's your poison, because I think Facebook now, particularly pages, it's pay to play. Like if you're not paying, you're not getting seen on Facebook, but, you know, Instagram and TikTok and all that stuff. So maybe all that fodder, and it's funny, I said to someone the other day, fodder, and they're like, what does that mean? But those listening,
yeah, it's like, what does it? Can you give us a defined fodder?
Yeah, because I always say it. I'm just going to read the definition, because it's like, you know, when you feed cattle and horses, all the, like the straw and grass and all that. So, okay, so the definition, fodder, food, especially dry hay or straw for cattle and other livestock. So basically, I'm just giving you a whole big bit of fodder that might have some different things in it, and you can just pick out and talk about whatever you want.
Okay.
So take all that crap about social media and basics and all that stuff, and I don't know, do you have a view or a talking point you want to start with on that?
I wish I had a blanket rule that I could tell your listeners. However, I do feel like it changes depending on your business. For example, like your business, the Facebook group is massive. That's such a great tool for you. So depending on your business, I do agree that Facebook is a little bit pay to play. However, there are a lot of great tools like Facebook events, people still engage with, Facebook groups you can still build community with. So while it is, like, I won't lie, it is hard to start a new page and 20,000 likes on your Facebook page, there are still tools on Facebook that you can use that are really great to leverage your business, especially for service-based businesses, because a lot of them are local. So there's a lot of like local community Facebook groups that even if you don't have to start a Facebook group, but you can be a part of them and engage with the community, that's a really great tool to use. Otherwise, your other social platforms like Instagram, TikTok, people get really intimidated by them, right? But I think we need to remember that they're free. It's free marketing. So anything you get from them is free. It's great. It's still a really great tool to use. So I really encourage all of our clients, whether we are managing their socials for them or if we're just running ads and consulting with them on socials, to still use these platforms if they have the capacity for it, because they're free to use. They're pretty easy to learn. And I think it's really important for all small business owners to get a base knowledge on social media, because it is so accessible before outsourcing, which just because it'll make the outsourcing process a lot easier for you.
Just thinking, like, if you are a tradie who's listening to this on the road and you're interested in business and all that stuff, if what you're doing now is working and you've got lots of work, you might not care about doing anything online. And that's the fact, isn't it? Like, my motor mechanic had been in the same spot for a million years, and he's got to turn work away. He doesn't even need a presence online. And I think that's why at the top I differentiated in that early days of starting and wanting to start a business, you've got to actually have a presence in someone's pocket, and that is usually online, right?
Yeah, and I think your mechanic, for example, who's been around since the beginning of time, they would have been doing marketing using the tools that they had at when they first started. So I think like it's important to distinguish like performance marketing and digital marketing with brand marketing, and having a solid product or service, obviously, because you're not going to get anywhere without that, as well as a good brand that supports that, because all Instagram and social media, like Facebook, social media, they're just tools to amplify your existing brand. So if you don't have the foundations of that, you're probably going to have trouble being on Instagram and Facebook anyway. So getting your foundations right with your brand is important.
Absolutely. Now, if we do take that real life example of someone who might be starting an air conditioning installation business, or they wanted to start a hair salon out of their own backyard or rent a chair somewhere. So I'm talking your 101 apprenticeship type vocations. Like if someone was in those roles and they did want to start their own business and they opened Instagram today, what type of content would you suggest that they start to do? And we'll just pick Instagram and stories or TikTok reels or whatever.
Yeah. All your listeners are probably going to hate me, but video content does get the best reach. It's the best way, especially for a new...
All my listeners are going to hate you. I hate you. I hate doing video stuff.
Yeah. It doesn't have to be complicated though. And I think people sit at the bottom of this molehill thinking that it's a mountain, and you don't have to create a cinematic universe for your business. Like, it can just be super simple. And I think if you look at the content that you enjoy engaging with, sometimes it's not, you know, there's not crazy transitions and it's really highly edited and all of that. It can just be super simple. One of our construction clients, for example, they like install windows. Something as like as simple as just like a time lapse of them installing the window and watching it all kind of come together. It's like one shot. You just put your camera there and it's one shot and they post it and it gets really great engagement. So it doesn't have to be complicated. And I think trying to, while you're dipping your toe in the water of content creation, because I know it can be a bit scary, just keeping it simple and keeping it within what you know will be your best way of experimenting.
That's so interesting because, and it probably leads me into some more fodder for you, apologies everyone, around content schedule and variety. As an example, when I do audio content, and this is the whole thing, right? For my business, our audio is the product and it also can be marketing. Like it's this weird thing. But then again, philosophically, you could install someone's air conditioner and yes, that's the product, but you've done such a stellar job, that's your marketing. Hey, there's another discussion there. However, I always have this thing. It's like we say we're creating infotainment, right? And I always want to at least do three things: add value, be practical, and have fun. If I can do two of those, be heaps practical and valuable, awesome. Heaps fun and practical, awesome. So back to the scheduling thing, like in my own business, even just today, we've got a newsletter, right? Tonight, we're recording this in April. Tonight's newsletter is going out. There's a slight change because I said to Jesse, my team, I need more meat and I need more value for the readers. So we're now doing a community question and I write an answer. So it is that dance between setting up a time lapse of me installing this aircon, which is kind of cool to see. I'm sitting on my lounge scrolling. But does there need to be a third of, well, we're going to do an educational thing, how to change the filters with a call to action. And then another third, like here's a profile of one of our last customers. So just talk to us about the variety of content.
Yeah, I think you can have, without getting too complicated and talking about content pillars and things, I think for a small business owner, to keep it really simple, you can have perhaps trend-focused content, which is a little bit more time. You don't have a lot of time to make it. You have to really like adapt to the trend, and evergreen content. So something like installing a air conditioning that probably won't change and is always going to be something you can post, versus what you were saying about your email newsletter. you kind of have to respond to that in real-ish time.
Yeah, there's an urgency or a lifespan to that. Like, don't read it in a year's time because it could be different.
Yeah.
But for the there and now, it's valuable, right?
Yeah. So I think it'll depend on the individual circumstance of the business owner. So for me, for example, I try to plan my content for my business a week ahead at least. But, and that's actually what we do for a lot of our hospitality clients. So because Hospo changes so frequently, I would love to do a monthly content calendar for them, but that's just not practical. So for hospitality, we work on weeks versus construction where it is, you know, things aren't as urgent. We can work on monthly calendars for them. And of course, things will pop up. We'll have to slot in a post here and there. But depending on your circumstance and also about like how organized you are, some business owners aren't organized enough to have a monthly content calendar, and that's fine. But if you can work to weekly or fortnightly, you have to find something that works for you.
Yeah, I think, and this is interesting, and I think one of the reasons I wanted you on as well, because some of the stuff we're talking about, I'm having the personal challenge in my small business, right? Like I was thinking the other day, like, well, what if I just deleted the Instagram? Like, who cares? But that's also Glenn James' personality. Don't do stuff on a whim, you idiot. You've learned from that in the past. But because it is such this, you've got to be consistent, and you've got to be intentional, and you've got to have strategy with whatever you do in marketing, right?
Yeah, I think for small business owners who are running their own socials at the moment, firstly, don't be so hard on yourself. it is hard to keep up with. That's literally why I have a job, is because it is hard to do. If I wouldn't have a job if it was easy and everyone was doing it themselves. I think if you are managing your socials at the moment, just try to post once a week. It's literally like a gym membership. Just go once a week. Just post once a week. Get into the habit of that and then build on that. And if it does get too much, and depending on your business type, and if you are an electrician who 90% of their job is out on the road, and it would be hard to, you know, create content and post all day versus if you work in an office where it's a little bit easier to make that time. If you do get to that point where it is impossible, that's when you can consider to outsource. But I think starting small and building from there, like anything really, is the first step.
Yeah, but you can't outsource all responsibility, can you? Because, you know, if I outsource to Allies Management, it's like, hey, I need you guys to help me. Well, you're going to be like, well, we need the clay to mold, and we still need your active input, right? And I think it is that whole, you know, how serious are you about having an online presence and strategy?
Yeah, exactly. We work with our clients, especially, again, going back to this electrician example for the 100th time, they're kind of a photographer, like following them 24/7. So if they choose to outsource, they still have to create that content, and we work with the client on almost like a PT, right? Like we're like reminding them, make sure you film this today. We give them the ideas of the content they need to create. We take that, edit it, and we do the rest. So being like outsourcing, it still helps a lot with the admin of it.
Yeah, the execution.
And like outsourcing, even the creativity, we give them step by step what they have to create for us. But yeah, I think there is still obviously a level of commitment that's involved with creating that content.
And if someone wanted to kind of do a DIY, like they're listening to this, like, you know what? It's been on my mind for a while. I need to kind of do this, and I think it will be Instagram. Like, talked about some practical steps they need to take, and whether that is, I don't know, I'm going to commit to a post every Monday and Thursday for the next month and just spend an hour planning out and talk about, well, I'm crap at design. Do I get a designer? Do I just use CapCut? Like, just talk to us about some practical DIY steps for people to hit the ground running.
Yeah, I think what you said about setting a day, whether it's Monday and Thursday, work out a day, give yourself a deadline, I think is important. And whether that's just posting a grid post or if it's appearing on stories more, have a bit of an idea of what your week looks like. And from there, identify times that you can create content. So for example, me hopping onto this podcast today, I took a quick photo that I was going on a podcast. things like that kind of get into the mindset, because I know it's not, the content creator mindset is not for everyone, and it's not like everyone is like a marketer who is going about their day thinking of times that they can take photos, because I know that's not normal. So being able to pre-plan that a little bit would be my first recommendation. And then creating that content and either posting it live, whether it's Monday, you sit down, you post that post, or you can use like Meta and Instagram both have schedulers within their platform, so they're free to use. You can schedule the content then. And just, I think getting into that mindset, as I said, of like Instagram stories, something you might, you could just be at a job and you've finished installing your aircon or something like that, and you just take a quick photo of it and put it up on the story. It's, it doesn't have to be groundbreaking.
Do you think as well, and this is just, and for those like in the background, like when we do these business episodes, actually, I didn't on this one, but going forward, Kayla, you'll be proud of me. Like, I think we had a quick coffee when I was in Brisbane, like, yeah, we'll have to come on the show and I want to do more business content. Like, I've set up a Calendly thing and all that. And for the business calendar link, I allocate 2 hours, right? Because I want to actually go along these kind of trains of thought and dig deep and jump into the ground, like jump into the thoughts. Yeah. So also, if you need to jump off, do so. So part of that, what you said, it just got me thinking, and this is an example and more of a reason, and I'm saying this for those who might be new to me in the podcast, these type of episodes, Kayla or Glenn, we might not give you the bullet, the silver bullet.
Yeah, I wish I could.
Yeah. However, you might say, well, I don't work in bloody air conditioning or have a camera or whatever. Okay. But you might think, but I can do this. And these podcasts are here. We're talking about stuff for you to allocate time in your day, it's maybe an hour of your time, to think on topic. Like, that's all it is for. Press pause and write down 5 things I need to do today. So all that to say, Kayla, we talk about social media, and you, I think you mentioned it at the start about being localized or a service in your area, right? Yeah. So if we take this really into your area, right, and it reminded me of a guy that I used to work in an office next to. He was a client of mine. He's on every bus shelter in a suburb called Berkeley Vale, where I grew up and all that. His name's Ian Boyle. He's the principal Ray White. And real estate's an interesting thing because if you do the time and you've, like, he's been around that area for bloody over 10 years, like, Berkeley Vale is his area. So in your messaging, if you want to get hugely micro to a physical location, can you be like the Ian Boyle? He's always showed up. He only cares about this area. And he puts in the time and the effort. Everyone knows this guy, Ian Boyle, from Ray White in Berkeley Vale.
Yeah.
So back to that air conditioning thing, in your, and I'll get your view on this kind of the marketing language, Kayla. Like, do you change your language? It's like, well, I'm not an air conditioner installer. What do you do for work? I keep Berkeley Vale cool.
Yeah, exactly. Like, speak about the benefits that you provide rather than the service and the, to get a little bit fluffy about it, I guess it's like the emotions you invoke with your service. And I think real estate is a really great example of that because we work with a number of real estate agents and agencies. And for them, it's a lot of them, they have built this network within their local communities because they are so involved in their community. So again, going back to your brand marketing, before you take that onto social media to amplify it, they put the time and the work into getting involved in their communities, and they have a network in that community. So then when people are looking to sell their house or buy their house, we just have to get in front of them with a social media post or an ad. And a lot of that, like, pre-work is already done because they've done the hard yards by getting involved in the community.
Yeah, I just love this whole guerrilla marketing thing. And, like, if you were that air conditioner installer or whatever in that local area, can you be strategic? And I always like to say, can you get offline as well? You quote a job, the 3 letterboxes either side and across the street. Put a thing in the letterbox. We've just quoted a job in the area. We'll be back here in a couple of weeks. If you want to quote, let us know.
Yeah, we love working with clients on different ideas like that. Even like flyer drops, for example, like just changing up the concept of a flyer drop. And you'll get a lot of real estate agents that will drop like a calendar or something else. Like what's something that people actually want and will keep? For example, we did for childcare, they wanted to have a stall in a shopping center and hand out flyers. And we wanted to design up little bookmarks for kids instead. So something that they can use and something that their parents can use that has the details on it, rather than just a DL flyer that's going to go straight in the bin, or a calendar, especially across that like Christmas holiday period. People are receiving like tens of 15s of 20s of calculators, not calculators, calendars. Like they don't need anything. They don't need any more. So being able to be a little bit different is so important.
Yeah. And I'm just all about this, you know, how can you get guerrilla with what you do? And because a lot of the time as well, if people don't know you exist, guess what? You don't exist to them. Like it's pretty simple. So yeah, I'm just a big fan of, you know, that long term, everyone's got to read the book The Dip by Seth Godin. You need to be around long enough so the roots can be planted deep.
Yeah, I agree. And I think like brand awareness, people look at marketing these days, and because of online and technology and tracking, we can see when someone adds something to cart and then exits their browser and all of the like the granular level we've been able to get, people have really not paid attention to brand awareness anymore. And I think as customers get a lot more savvy, there's not this like granular journey that a customer makes where they like see an Instagram post and they inquire and then, you know, you make a sale. Like it just doesn't work like that anymore. So brand awareness is still so important. Getting out in the community is still so important. Just the basics are being often overlooked.
And also not spending money. I don't know, is it like a marketing word, spending money on verticals that's not going to have a benefit at all?
Yeah, I think people, the whole bus shelter thing is a great example. And obviously you said that guy was a director or a principal of...
At Ray White in Berkeley. Yeah. Hi, Ian. I'll send this to you.
Shout out to Ian.
Yeah, love your work.
So Ian, for example, as a principal in his position, he has the resources to be paying for these bus shelters. A lot of, I assume, your listeners who are owning small businesses, that is probably not the best way to be using their budget. They could be putting that budget towards whether it's boosting posts or putting some ads out there that they are able to see the clearer ROI on that versus, putting a bus shelter and you don't know who's seen it.
Yeah. And we will talk about that a little bit more about boosting posts after the break. But to take us to the break, it's just reminded me, I think I've shared this on another episode, but I just want to tell you as a person because it's freaking hilarious and just goes to show you when you're in sales, what's the saying? Like you're a hammer and every issue in person is a nail that could be sold. Like you're just always selling. So my last house, I will give him a shout out. This is a negative or positive one, whatever, don't care, but it happened. So it's not really whatever. His name's Simon and it's Simon Wall Property. He's in Newcastle. And I just... as much as I hated this, I loved his hustle and I respect it so bad. And I know that he probably didn't cause this himself, but I sent him this email, the subject, and I sent this in September 23 last year. Hi, Simon. And the subject was letterbox drop. And I said, can you please tell whoever does letterbox drops not to drop stuff when there is a no junk mail sign on the box? It's a waste of paper. Thank you. Because I was just sick of it. Like, I have no junk mail because I just hate waste and all that. And I'm like
they shouldn't be putting it in there if it says...
Yeah, and obviously they pay other companies or school kids or whatever to do the drop because I've seen them. Simon writes back, I'll have a coffee with you one day, Simon. You're in Merriweather and at the junction.
Shout out to all the real estate agents. Shout out to Simon.
That's right. Simon Wall Property. Track me down, say you've listened to this episode, let's get a coffee. I'm up for it. He writes back, I love this. Hi, Glenn. Thank you. We appreciate your email. Can you please provide your address? And it definitely will not occur again. I'll pass the message on. This is it. This is what I've been building up for. Do you have any questions about real estate we can help you with? Have a good day. I'm like, I'm literally emailing this guy to complain about his business, but he's on the sale and I love it and I respect it.
I need that level of hustle. I was talking to a previous colleague actually the other day about executive presence and how I really want to work on having executive presence as a young business owner, as a female business owner. That's the level of audacity and executive presence I need.
I just love it. And to be honest as well, right, get this, the flip side of that, guess who you want to sell your house?
Yeah, someone who has that level of audacity.
Yes, it's just such, oh, I just love that. Simon, we got to get a coffee, bro. I'll try and interview him. I'm going to do that. That's my job. We're going to do a This Is Business episode. I'm going to interview. Sorry?
Call in.
Yeah. Oh, it's going to be awesome. All right, we'll have a break and we'll be back right after this.
If you're after personal financial advice, don't get it from a podcast. If you would like help based on your own personal situation, head over to sortyourmoneyout.com. Click get help and we'd be happy to introduce you to one of our trusted advisors. Our panel of advisors, mortgage brokers and accountants work with clients all over Australia so they can connect with you wherever you are. That's sortyourmoneyout.com and click get help.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify in store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. Shopify.com/retail23.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences. Whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
All right, we're back. All right, I just love that vibe, the sales thing. Like, you're annoying, but also far out.
I wonder the success rate on that.
But that's it. Like, if you, the simple maths of like the sales funnel, the more stuff you put in that top of your sales funnel, guess what? The more that's going to come out of the bottom.
Yeah.
It's just numbers, right?
Yeah, that is a really good point. A client, we do lead gen ads for a particular client, and we were running brand awareness ads as well as lead generation ads. And the obvious question that comes up is, do we really need these brand awareness ads? You know, we can't really get a very clear ROI on them. Whereas with these lead gen ads, we can see this ad generated this many leads. So I said, look, we'll test turning them off and see what happens. And as soon as we turned them off, the leads just went and dropped. We turned it back on, the leads went back up. So exactly what you're saying. Brand awareness is very underrated and is essential for any business, whether it's big or small. Coca-Cola still puts billboards up. Everyone knows
who Coca-Cola is. Yeah, that's right. But it is that branding and its presence. But I do like what you said, and that's a really good segue back into, if you're in the first couple of years of your business, you're not too, I would imagine, with this online era. And there's two types. There's like the above the line marketing and branding, right? So like the billboard awareness and then kind of like the digital and performance. Boosting a story could be a really good use of $100 or boosting a reel or boosting a post. So maybe talk to us about that.
Yeah, I think if you're on any social media, if you are looking into marketing, you'll probably see a lot of agencies tell you not to boost posts, and there's a lot of blasphemy. Is that the right word? I hope I've used that right.
Yeah.
But blasphemy about boosting posts. But I'm of the opinion, especially for small business.
Or heresy, maybe. Both.
Heresy.
Bad vibes.
Yeah. Yeah. Look, there's a lot of bad vibes and bad energy around boosting posts.
You get me. You get
all my Gen Z listeners out there, there's a lot of bad vibes.
I'm a bad vibe. I know. I'm a Gen Z in an old man's body, I swear.
I'm a boomer in a millennial's body.
Yeah, same. I'm no one. But yeah, so there's some bad vibes out there.
A lot of bad vibes around boosting posts. And look, if you're working with an agency on a very detailed ad strategy, then yeah, maybe boosting posts might not be the best move. However, I am of the opinion that if you're new to a lot of these social platforms and are new to digital marketing, boosting posts to get a better idea of things like reach, impressions, cost per view, CPM, things like that, it's one, very easy to learn, and you can gain a lot of basic knowledge around digital marketing. So when you are ready to outsource to something a little bit more complicated, like Google Ads, Meta Ads, things like that, you have this base knowledge, which I think is so important.
Are there any tips, like, would you, for example, and this is actually Glenn asking a professional.
We're friends.
Would you do a couple of, like a handful of posts or reels, then after the week, the ones that have performed best organically, boost them? Or do you think it doesn't matter as much?
I think you're on the right track there. So looking at what's performed best organically will give you an insight into what's going to perform best. Because really, when you're putting money behind a post, all you're doing is amplifying it. So having an idea of what performs best organically will give you a good insight into what's going to get the best results for you when you put money behind it. You'll probably notice that, again, reels, video content, and stories are going to get the most reach. That's where people are frequenting now. They're engaging a lot more with Instagram reels. And I'm not sure about you, but I do a quick search, like a quick scroll on my feed, and then I'm looking at everyone's stories because it's, we all have the attention span of a goldfish now. So we're just
Me personally, I don't look at heaps of people's stories.
That's so interesting.
I think I'm just, I don't know. Okay, I'll tell you what it is. This is totally irrelevant and we'll move on really fast. But I hate when, like, I go away somewhere and I get back and people in my world are like, oh, how was it? I'm like, I don't know, you saw my posts. That's how it was.
But did you post stories? Because maybe they didn't see it.
Yes.
Because you're not
posting stories. I post stories, but I don't view lots.
Yeah. We get the most amount of reach on stories these days. Not to say that you shouldn't be posting posts, because obviously when people go to your profile, they need something to see. But in terms of day-to-day stuff, plus you can be a little bit more rogue with stories. It's only up for 24 hours. You don't have to professionally shot photo.
So I'm like, at the moment, before I changed the Instagram over and all that, I did the odd boost just for my own curiosity, not as a big business strategy. And I've actually got a live post at the moment, a boosted post. Do you want me to send it to you? You can have a look at it. I'll show you exactly what it is. I'll just shoot it through to. Oh, and while you're there, everyone, what's the Allies Instagram page that people can check out your vibe?
Check out the vibe. You can find us at Allies Management. So that's Allies Management. That's across Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. We've just recently started our TikTok because previously we were running our clients' TikToks and we did not have time to do our own. So now we're finally on there.
That's good. So I've just, from a pure experimental thing, because I really want to grow Jess's podcast, Financially Fierce, I did a static post and I'm like, I'm just going to boost this to see, right? And I'll do $1,160, I think over 10 days. So basically $100, $116 a day. I'm looking at it now, and actually I sent them to the website of Financially Fierce, the podcast. And on that website, you can click, you know, Apple or Spotify. Okay. So I set up a Bitly just to track versus the tracking on Instagram. Instagram says I've had external link taps from the ad, 587, which Bitly says 572, so it's pretty much the same. I got 149 profile visits, 7 follows. But what I wanted, and the reason I wanted to just use this as an example, everyone, it tells you in Instagram the cost per website visit. Now, out of the 572 people that have landed on that, it's $1.24 per website visit. So I'm now going to just kind of use that as my benchmark because, you know, in my business, one way I can make money is to sell ads to people, to sell them mortgages, financial advice, and all that stuff. So if I paid a dollar and got someone as a listener and then they, I don't know, got a mortgage or whatever, that could be worth lots of money, a few hundred dollars, right? So the cost per acquisition is pretty good. So all that to say, if you are messing around with this stuff, at least you should be able to know, okay, and track somehow even as primitively as I'm doing it, okay, it costs me a dollar to get someone at the top of the funnel and I need to, you know, what if I spend, I don't know, you vibe me? What am I saying here?
No, I'm just picking up what you're putting down. That's a really good way to work backwards and to work out exactly as you said. It costs you $1.24 to get someone onto your website, and then from those website visitors, how many listeners do you get? And then work backwards based to work out, I want X amount of website visitors, or I want X amount of conversions, X amount of listeners, so I need to generate this much website traffic, so I need to put this much on my ads. And to, I guess, further that, you can look at industry averages. So $1.24 per website visit is not too bad. My unsolicited advice, I'd be trying to aim for under a dollar. So trying to get that down. And to do that, again, not to harp on about videos anymore.
Harp away.
You could, this post that you've done, you could turn that into a video or get in front of the camera, talk about the episode, have a chat about that.
Yeah, I'll get Jess to do one because I'm catching up with her this week. I'll get her to record a face-to-cam thing because one of her recent episodes about the cost of having a pet, right? Yeah. But it's an interesting thing, Kayla, and I did touch on it before, or you did actually, and you said we weren't getting into it too much, but I think it is relevant. It's actually, it's a low conversion environment to get someone to move content pillars, for example. So I think Instagram advertising is awesome to get people that are using Instagram over to your Instagram page, get them to have a follow, then you've got permission to share content. It's a really hard sell to be promoting another content pillar on that platform.
Yeah. Do you mean on the This Is Money podcast, shouting out another podcast?
No, that would be good because you're talking to other podcast listeners.
Yep.
But for me to say I've got this Financially Fierce ad on Instagram, yep, now go over and subscribe to the podcast, that's hard because we're changing content pillars.
Yeah.
It would be like going, well, I'm trying to sell air conditioning to a room of people who've just had their brand new air conditioners installed. Like it's going to be a very low conversion environment.
Yeah, the apps are – at the end of the day, they want to keep people on the app. So that's why you'll get some great results on things like brand awareness, profile visits. But the moment you want to take them off the app onto your website, that's when it's absolutely still doable. You can still get some great results. But at the end of the day, the Zuckerberg wants to keep people on Instagram. So that is something to consider.
We've got heaps to cover, but I just want to keep digging on this. You're an air conditioner or a hairdresser or whatever. Yeah. With your kind of – like the best marketing, right, is free. And how can you be known for something in your area or online in your industry? Now, as an example, I'm talking about could you do potential theme posts or weeks. So Emily Wallace, she did for like years, she did this thing called Top Tip Tuesday. And she did a reel, top real estate tips. Could you do Disaster Thursday? And it's like, I'm going to share with you this hairdressing disaster. They came to me and I rescued it. Or I don't know, like just standing out. People want to see disasters and people want fast tips. How can you capitalize on that? Just probably goes back to just creating good content, full stop, right?
Yeah, I think something I learned through Anita Seek, she's a copywriter, shout out Anita, friend of the business. She speaks on back in the day, the heydays of Instagram, you would want to share value, right? Everyone's sharing tips and tricks and things. But for a lot of our service-based businesses, they are trying to attract customers, not DIYers and not other air condition installers. And by sharing a lot of tips and tricks, you end up these days actually just attracting other people in your industry or DIYs, so not actually converting customers.
Yeah.
So I think
that's such a good point.
Yeah.
That just proves that I'm such a buffoon and that's why I need you.
Well, so yeah, back in the day that worked and it attracted customers because it would show your experience and your knowledge. Whereas these days it just attracts people who want to do it themselves. So we recommend actually still sharing value, but exactly what you said with the Disaster Thursdays of how you took a problem and you fixed it, not showing necessarily how you fixed it, but showing that you did fix it. And I think that works a lot more effective these days.
And do you think it all comes back to the CTA call to action?
Yeah.
If you do have a lot of DIYers, it's like, here's Disaster Thursday. They tried to install their air conditioner. We're the DIY rescue squad.
Yes.
Or speaking to that and cutting through, right?
Yeah. And you'll see if your phone's listening to you and you log on to TikTok tonight, I'm sure you'll get a bunch of hairdressers that do that. They will literally take someone's had a really bad bleach and their hair is all unhealthy and it looks awful, and they'll cut it, transform it into something beautiful. And that attracts clients and people at the end of the day, especially customers, for something like that, like a hairdresser or an air condition installer, they don't really care how you did it because they don't want to do it. That's why they're watching your content. They just want to see the end result.
Yeah. So fascinating. Because a lot of the time I was thinking, you know, I'm about to record an episode for the Retire Right podcast with the host about Bitcoin for people that are over 55, effectively, right? And I put it up in the Retire Right Facebook group, like, oh, does anyone have any questions about Bitcoin? And someone wrote, like, oh, can you explain the mining part? And I'm not actually going to explain that because it doesn't matter. It's like when I fly from here to Brisbane, I don't need to know the internal parts of a jet engine. I just need to know that fasten the runway, lift, fly. And I think when you are online being that, I guess we're the DIY experts, exactly what you said. You don't need to show them all the micro details. Just show them that fast, lift, sky, no one cares about the internal workings of a turbojet engine.
Yeah.
Although
digital channels and social media as well. I think we used to turn to social media to be educated. And look, we still do a lot of the time. I look up recipes all the time. I'm definitely looking for educational content, but we have pivoted more towards entertainment. So I will look up recipes because I enjoy cooking, but when it comes to getting my hair done, I don't really care to learn how bleach works for my blonde hair. I just want to see it get done. So yeah, it's a fine line. And again, it really depends on your business and the service you offer, but trying to infotainment, I think this is a great example of like people, exactly what you're doing. You provide entertainment and you provide education in an entertaining format.
Mm. And I think what it goes back to, and this whole episode, I just love where it is and I just want it to be really thought dense for people to listen. It almost goes back to who's your ideal client? Who are you after, right? Like, and then within that, you know that movie? I don't think I've seen it. It was probably old, called How to Train Your Dragon.
I think
I've heard of it.
Yeah, but we've all heard of it.
So I always think, like, you need to train your client from the first messaging. Like, we are the DIY fixers. So you're positioning the type of person you want.
Yeah. I think that's such a good point about outsourcing as well versus running your own marketing or having someone internal who does your marketing. There's pros and cons to both, obviously, but for a lot of small business owners and medium and large business owners, they can often be too deep in the business. And for an external party like an agency to come in with a fresh set of eyes and just pull out what does a customer need to hear? They don't need to hear all the extra fluffy stuff. What's the main messaging here? I think can be really beneficial.
Mm. So when, far out, we almost need to do a part two of this episode, don't we?
hopefully this is valuable. I feel like we have been
It so is. It's got me thinking so much.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because it's almost that there's always kind of a balance, right? It's like, you're a friggin' air conditioner. Worry about installing air conditioning good. Friggin' don't dick around with Facebook and Instagram. But it is that, and I get it, it's that dance of, okay, I've been doing this business 5 years now and I want to double down and grow. Okay, your time is too valuable. Outsource and lean into that process. So what I don't know if I talked about it to you when I was in Bris Vegas, but I said, like, after this tour, I'm reaching out to some video people and I'm literally going to be like, I need a plan and a schedule. I want a reel a day and I want you to come once or twice a month and for the morning or day, follow me around with the camera, make content, because I'm at that level where I need to actually experiment with more of the investment into it and spending real money into it, because that's like so complex. You know that meme was like the guy with a cigarette and there's like the stuff on the wall.
Yeah, the numbers.
Yeah, because it's when you start to think about that investment and the scale that of return that you could get. Also, far out, oh, I'm having a big smart explosion, everyone. You've also got to, I'm just like now talking at Kayla because I've had an explosion. You've also got to think about, be careful what you wish for. If you had 3 clients rock up tomorrow every single day, can you handle it? And can you still give all of them a good client experience?
Yeah, that is so true. And for 2-pronged response to that, first of all, with your outsourcing, I look at it the same way. For me personally, it's with bookkeeping. Like I can do marketing stats and stuff, but when it comes to like money, zero that, I hate it. I forced myself to learn the basics and I know my way around zero, but I don't do it very well and I don't really have to do it very well. So I outsource it to a bookkeeper and that was the best move because it was just like stressing me out having this invoicing and all of that to do. So I outsource it, but I still have that basic understanding so I can have a conversation with my bookkeeper and have a constructive and collaborative conversation. So same thing with marketing. I think you have to understand the basics, but by no means do you or should you have to do it all.
Make sure you've got a good client experience and you can handle it. Because we had an advertiser once on one of our shows and the influx of clients was too much and they ended up, the clients were getting a bad experience because the business wasn't set up to scale.
Yeah, I think when you invest in marketing, one, being prepared for the additional clients is, of course, so important, but also making sure that your marketing matches your actual experience that you're offering. I saw a LinkedIn post just this morning, actually, of someone who had been to a few venues because they were drawn to the marketing, but then they got there and they were kind of catfished by the marketing and the experience wasn't anywhere near what their Instagram profile was setting them out to be. I guess to recap on all of that, I think as a business owner, you'll know when you've reached your capacity of as you've done as much as you can, and you'll know when it's time to outsource and to get rid of the stress and the mental toll that it takes to come up with content and work on a strategy and outsource to a professional.
So if we swing it back around, and if I could ask you about Allies Management, like what type of clients do you guys like working with?
Yeah, I think our ideal client has ticked those boxes that we've previously mentioned. So has a base knowledge of marketing. By no means do you have to know the ins and outs of it, but having a basic knowledge really helps whether you work with us or any agency. Having your system set up so you are ready for new customers, I think, is a massive component of it, as well as you have that base foundational client or customer base. So I don't recommend to any small business or any business to start outsourcing when you're in crisis mode. Not to say we haven't taken on clients in that situation. However, I would say it's your best use of your budget and your resources to get your business up to a position where you're ready to scale and then outsource.
Yeah, and I reckon it could also be, because I always think, how do we layer the content? And when I had my physical financial advice business, I did a complete rebrand. I got some clients who were willing to come in and share a bit of their story and have like a filmed client testimonial. You know, that stuff, it's like, okay, well, the business is at the stage where I'm not running around needing, you know, my first ideal client is, do you have legs? Yep. Do you have a heartbeat? Yep. You're in. and every business owner knows what I'm talking about. It was more of I'm at that established, I need to go to market two stage. You might be in business for 3 to 5 years, maybe over 4 years. And it's like, okay, I can actually take the time to invest into this in a methodical, planned way and, yeah, really do a good job of it.
Yeah, exactly. That is our ideal client, someone who, yeah, has done the hard yards, right, of getting your business to a point where you've gotten as far as you can and it's time to scale and to grow past that point. And that's where I think outsourcing to a professional is really worthwhile.
So if I was, I've booked a link in your calendar or whatever, first-time appointment, like, hi, Kayla, I'm Glenn, I've got a small business, I want you guys to help me. What are some of the questions from your business or marketing agency land would you be asking me to extract out of me?
Yeah, I think I would be asking, and it also depends on, to be Gen Z again, you do go off the vibes a little bit as well. So I would be asking you to explain, obviously, your product and service, starting there. If you are comfortable with it, speaking about your turnover and revenue, I think that is a good place to start. You don't have to go into any super granular details, but I think that will give us an idea of your budget to, one, work with us, as well as your budget to spend on ad spend across prioritizing platforms. Can you afford to be advertising on Meta and Google and TikTok, or do we prioritize just Google? Looking at the budget you have to spend on content, if there's budget there for photo and video and design, or if we should be looking at more cost-effective options for you. So yeah, I think those are like the main questions I'd be looking at.
Right. So getting really practical, if someone was to engage an agency or your business and say the fee was, I don't know, $2,200 a month, like, is that, do I have to make sure in the background I've got $4,000 a month because, they might say, okay, well, to work with us, it's $2,000 a month, but we need a minimum ad spend of $2,000. So you've got to make sure you basically got $4,500 a month to walk this road, or like, is it all packaged up? How do you do it, or how does the industry do it?
Yeah, I would say those figures you've thrown out are pretty accurate. The way that we structure our packages is a little bit different to other agencies, where they will give you, throw out a number, and that's inclusive of ad spend. So to get, I don't know, it's pretty obvious, but if you don't know what ad spend is, it's the money that goes into Google and Facebook and Instagram to actually push your ads out. So generally there'll be a fee for the agency to manage your ads, as well as the fee that goes into these platforms. A lot of agencies will package that all up into one lump sum and say, hey, this is how much it costs to run ads, and that's it. Whereas it can get a little bit iffy then, because you don't have control over how much is actually being spent on ads and how much the agency is putting in their pocket. So the way that we run things is the client's card, or it's the client's money, they have access to their ads account, and their money, that ad spend comes out of their account. So they are aware of exactly how much ad spend, and we invoice for our fee separately. So we just do that because just because we're good people, to be honest.
But this is the whole thing. Like, my head bangs against the wall because I'm in this online ad world with the podcast stuff. It's so archaic and like Mad Men vibes. Like, I reckon if a company runs an ad, like if someone hears an ad on this episode today and it's a big national company, tickets probably being clipped four times up the chain. Like, it's so wild.
Yeah.
And like, it takes 2 months for me to get paid because it's got to, anyway, it's wild. And for me as a business owner, I would not work with an agency that didn't charge effectively a fee for service like you. It's like, here's our fee for our service. Plug your card in to Meta and to TikTok or whatever. And then in the background, at least I've got really clear accounting where it's like marketing consulting, that's a line item, ad spend, another line item.
Yeah, I think a lot of agencies get a bad rap because a lot of agencies do that. And yeah, I completely agree. I wouldn't feel comfortable myself charging this lump sum and, yeah, having that smoke and mirrors. It's just weird to me. And we've had a lot of clients that have come to us with horror stories of once they move away from an agency, they don't get access to any of their ads accounts, so they don't know what the previous agency did. There's just like a complete lack of transparency in the industry, I think. So that's something we feel really strongly about, especially because we work with a lot of small to medium businesses. So every dollar does count for these businesses and for these clients. So yeah, that's something that's really important to us.
So in finishing, are there any kind of like business/marketing lessons that you've learned yourself from your own career or through working with clients and your current business?
Yeah, I think outsourcing, even myself, for example, I recently outsourced my TikTok to one of my team. I was running all the socials myself, and I very quickly realized that wasn't the best use of my time. And even though I still like to think that I'm young, I feel like I'm a little bit too old for TikTok to really understand the target market. So yeah, outsourcing was a big one. It's taken so much stress off my plate, as well as the results have been better than anything I could have produced. From more of a client management perspective, I think working with clients who aren't marketers, obviously, I could talk about marketing all day, but at the end of the day, they don't want to hear me talk about it.
They don't care about the jet turbine engine.
Yes, exactly.
Brisbane. Yeah.
So finding that balance between giving information and educating the client, but also like they have better things to do with their day. That links into what we were saying before about like the hospitality clients, how like sometimes their ovens are literally on fire. So if someone doesn't get back to me straight away, I obviously have to, you know, keep in touch with the client, make sure I get the information I need. But having a level of empathy for people who are in the trenches and really working on their businesses because they outsource marketing for a reason, because they don't want to do it. So yeah, I've definitely grown that level of empathy with people to be a little bit more patient.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. Well, we might leave it there. I was thinking if I maybe if I find someone in our Facebook group who has a bit of a business, Instagram, website, marketing, maybe you can come back and we do kind of like a review of how they could optimize their stuff.
Yeah, I would love to do that. I'm in so many small business groups and marketing groups, and people will post about needing help, and I'm constantly on Facebook just reading these case studies and thinking of what I would do. So I'd love to do that.
Yeah, we'll do that because it has been great, and I'm gazing out over my like past my camera out to the water and looking out into the sky, and I'm like, far out. It just encourages me to be more intentional and
I've motivated you to create more content and do more.
To just shut down all social media and just get on with podcasting. It just would be, yeah, like, I don't know. I've watched this space, everyone. So that's been awesome. Well, we'll do that. We'll come back for a bit of a WWYD, what would you do? WWKD, what would Kayla do? And we'll review some marketing case studies because I think that'd be really fun. Kayla Multh from Allies Management, thank you so much for spending time with us today on This Is Business.
Thank you for having me. Thank you for teaching me what fodder meant.
Yes. And we'll put a link to Kayla's business in the show notes if anyone wants to have a bit of a look around and see if they can help. But yeah, we appreciate your time very much. We'll talk to you soon.
Thank you. Bye.
We acknowledge the traditional custodians of the lands on which we live and work and pay respects to their elders past, present and emerging. We extend that respect to Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander peoples who may listen to this podcast. If you are interested in furthering your education around money, your career or property, we have three books that might help. Check out Sort Your Money Out, Sort Your Career Out and Sort Your Property Out. Find these wherever good books are sold or via the link in the podcast show notes. This podcast is for education and entertainment purposes. Any advice is general financial advice only, which does not take into account your objectives, financial situation, or needs. Because of that, you should consider if the advice is appropriate to you and your needs before acting on the information. If you do choose to buy a financial product, read the product disclosure statement, target market determination, and obtain appropriate financial advice tailored to your needs. Symo Interactive Proprietary Limited, the publisher of the podcast, and Glenn James are authorised representatives of Money Sherpa Proprietary Limited, which holds financial services license 451289.
My business used to be weighed down by the complexities of in-person payments. Then, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe came along and changed everything. With Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe, I streamlined my payment process effortlessly. Now I can accept in-person, contactless payments right from my iPhone. No extra hardware required. What's truly remarkable is how I can cater to all of my customers' payment preferences, whether they're using cards, Apple Pay, or other digital wallets, Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe ensure a smooth checkout experience every time. And it's not just me. Stripe helps businesses of all sizes, from local markets to global retailers, scale quickly and stay agile. To learn how Tap to Pay on iPhone and Stripe can help grow your revenue and reach, visit stripe.com/tapiphone.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.